Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. Really looking forward to getting over to Beaumont on Thursday. We're going to be in Catonsville in the 21228. Feeling great. I have like five Magic 8-Ball tickets left, but have no fear. I'm picking up some Back to the Futures before the future of the podcast and the show we're going to do. I would give away who the guests are, and I'm this close to wanting to invite Luke over to Beaumont on Thursday, but he's busy. He's still burping up whatever happened at the Liars luncheon. We had the Orioles game on Tuesday night. We've got Easter this week. We had Masters drama. We had all sorts of things. But if you're an Oriole fan, if you're a baseball fan, and for our audience, I'm just assuming you are. It's probably one of the reasons you found us or will be listening to us in April. This is very, very disconcerting, and it's in a different way for old people like you and me who know baseball a little bit. And having watched seasons where there was no hope, Tax Day didn't mean anything, Preakness, Memorial Day, how they might be doing in June or July. I mean, this is a franchise that's been dead on arrival 85% of your lifetime, maybe more than that. I haven't done the math on that, but you're the math guy around here. When you start to get 5 and 6 and 8 games under 500, and you fall in and you can't get up, and your pitching's not going to save you, and you start to say, how are we going to win 6 in a row or 8 out of 10 or 10 out of 12 with what they have? Dude, I'll give you the floor. And I sat and watched it in real time, and I'm not out on Elon Musk's, white power site at X doing things and talking every minute about baseball. But I sit here and watch it. And for the fans who are disappointed, and when I put up open-ended things, it's all about, did they think about the pitching in the offseason? Was this their best plan? And on a day-by-day basis, you criticized it. I almost defended it to some degree to say, well, this is the best they can do with their $20 million an arm, but this isn't good, dude. This isn't good at all.
What is good about it right now? I mean, look, we'll get into Charlie Morton, and I agree with you, but there'd be no hit until the fifth inning. I mean, at some point in time, we need to stop giving the young core a pass and stop giving this offense a pass, and they've got to pick it up. They're supposed to be what's elite, and they're average at best right now. And it's average because they're kind of being buoyed by the few good performances they have had offensively. It's not good right now. It's not good enough. It's not nearly good enough. And I'm not really sure what you can point to say, oh, well, that's okay. Cedric Mullins playing great, right? I mean,
That
there's some
might
other
be it,
guys.
dude. That might be drop the
I
mic
mean,
after that. I don't know. Brian Baker, I'll throw him in there, right?
right. And I'm being a little facetious. Of course, there's some individuals who are off to perfectly fine, good starts. But as a whole, collectively speaking, it's not good enough. And yeah, the pitching is absolutely the headliner. And we had questions about it even before Zach Eflin went on the IL. We had questions about it before Grayson Rodriguez went on the IL. I mean, that part of it, as I've said to you, as I've interacted with people on social media, as I've talked to people in real life about the club, there is a certain sentiment about maybe they can't do much better than tread water at the moment, but they're not even doing that. They're taking on water. I mean, 6 and 10 translates out to 60 and 100, right? I mean, they're on 100 loss pace right now, and it's 16 games. We're
I'm trying to
10%
figure out
into
how
the
they go
season.
10 and 6 and level it out. I
Well,
mean,
because
how can that happen?
they hit, Nestor.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. They have to hit. I mean, they have to hit. They have to hit. They have to hit, because I mean, Charlie Morton. It's I heard his post-game comments. I as you know, I had a family thing, fun family thing that had already been planned. So I excuse myself for being at the ballpark Tuesday night after being at the Liars luncheon earlier in the day. But I went back and watched his start, and it's beyond just saying he's bad and it's an 8+ ERA. Like, look, anyone who just looks at the box score can say that. But if you actually watch it's kind of odd, because you look at a couple of his secondary pitches and they don't look bad. But here's the thing. 41 years old or not, and I'm not diminishing that part of it. We talked about that
Well,
from the
that is
moment
the
they
lead.
signed
I mean,
him.
that is the lead that Nobody out there. There's been
Okay.
1% of 1% ever in the history of baseball that can throw a baseball at 41 years old and get young men out. Like I can name them. I mean, I've sat here for 50 years and watched baseball. There aren't many, and some of them took steroids in a big way. Roger Clemens. So I would say that if your quarterback's 41, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, even Tom Brady in Tampa, if your hockey player is 41, see whatever the Capitals are going to do. I mean, dude, it's a young man's game, and the whole notion that he may be losing it to some degree is like saying, an 85-year-old person may be getting dementia. I mean, maybe, maybe, I don't know, but I don't know that I'm going to bet my season on Charlie Morton and on a Japanese guy that's never gotten anybody out who's 35 years old. And on, and then we're waiting on Kyle Gibson to be like a savior. And at best, he's going to be a fifth starter.
I mean, it might be better than that just because they have a rotation full of fifth starters right
Well,
now.
that's the
So,
point. I mean, I'm
sure.
talking about on a level playing field, what a fifth starter would represent, which is maybe get you through three or four innings, maybe with three or four runs. That's kind of what a fifth starter is to me.
But to dig down on this a little more, beyond just the age, beyond just saying he's been bad, if you go back and look at what Charlie Morton has been over really the last 10 years, it was really when he got to Houston circa 2017. But we've talked about this. I mean, this is a guy who, in Pittsburgh, he was part of the whole two-seam fastball craze with, infield shifting and all that. I mean, the Pirates, when they were good for a minute back in 2013, 14, 15, that was what they, that was something they leaned into. But when he got to Houston, the big thing that they tapped into with him and saying, dude, your curveball's elite. Your curveball's really, really good. Throw it more. And what we've seen over the last decade with him, even as he's gotten older, even as he's pitched to age 38, 39, 40, and now in his age 41 season, he's had not just a good curveball, he's had an elite curveball over the last decade. It's why he's been a fringe all-star caliber, getting some Cy Young Award votes
Dude,
further
Burt
down the ballot.
Blyleven went to the Hall of Fame and he's almost the same pitcher.
But that curveball hasn't been there this year. You're talking about not just a good curveball, a guy who had an elite curveball. One of the, if you had asked someone over the last 10 years to rank the best curveballs in baseball, Charlie Morton would be on that list somewhere. I'm not saying the very best, but it was way up there. And that's a below average offering for him right now. If you look at some of his other numbers, and I'm looking at StatCast, and we're talking four starts, it's still a small sample relative to, trying to evaluate someone's body of work and repertoire over a 30 start season. But
Or over a
you look at,
20-year career, because what was
sure.
yesterday isn't what he is, what he is right now, right?
But what's fascinating about it, and I don't say fascinating in a good way because the results have been poor, is some of his other pitches are actually playing up a little bit in terms of quality of stuff. But when you're talking about someone who's bread and butter, whose livelihood has been based on how great that curveball has been, and it has been a poor offering. If you kind of look at it, it's become his worst pitch so far this year, where he just doesn't have the feel for it. He's not locating it. When he does locate it in the strike zone, he's not missing any bats with it. And you just think about that for a pitcher who, any pitcher who has a premier pitch. And suddenly it's just not there for him whatsoever. And look, you're going to have individual isolated starts where that happens, right? But when it consistently just, it hasn't been there.
Well, the
I mean,
difference between you can't hit it, you can't touch it, or if you do, you're going to get soft wood in the other direction on it, right?
yeah.
Versus it's going to center up and it's going to be a meatball. It's going to be batting practice. That if it's your best pitch goes from your out pitch to a neck strain, that's a real problem. And that would be the case for any pitcher. Talk to Ben McDonald, Jim Palmer, any pitcher who pitched past the point, other than Koufax, who
Right.
pitched past the point where they were good anymore. You know what I mean? Right? Wherever that point is, where they went from elite to old, or that's pretty much what happens, right? Like the thing that they could, that was elite, isn't anymore, and that's the end. I mean, that's athletics, though, right? I mean, really.
It is. At the
Especially
same
with an
time,
art form like pitching, right?
at the
It's a,
same
it's an art
time, we're
form.
not talking about someone who's lost 10 miles per hour on his fastball either, right?
Oh, and
So,
McDonald's talking spin rate, spin rate, spin rate. It's one of the greatest of all time and all that. I don't know. The ERA is 9, man, and it's April, you know?
right. But again, if we're trying to drill down into this to really see what's going on, and look, he might just be washed up. It might, at the end of the day, that might be what it is. But
But if he can figure his curveball out, right? Right.
That's where you look at it and say, okay, a couple of the other secondary offerings actually haven't been that bad when you look at, you look at some of the Fangraphs has different, run value they assign to different pitches. Statcast does the same thing, and you look at it, his four seam fastball is actually, stuff wise, maybe been a little bit better than it's been in recent years. But when you take away what's made someone successful for as long as Charlie Morton's been successful, and not only is it not elite anymore, last year it wasn't elite, but it was still very good. It's gone from elite to last year being very good, and now it's he doesn't have any feel for it. And
I'm
there
smiling
were.
a little bit because I'm thinking at some point when Lamar loses a step, that's the thing that makes him special, right? Like, you know, just that, just from an athlete, I just go back to my athletic point and say that, like, lose a little bit. And 41, dude,
But this
it's
is a lot. I mean,
41.
his curve, like I said, over rewatching his outing on Tuesday night, and I'm trying to think about that. I don't have this the Statcast data in front of me, but out of the, again, I can't remember how many curveballs he threw. I can only remember a couple that actually looked like Charlie Morton's curveball. And when I say that, I mean Charlie Morton of 5, 6, 7 years ago. Most of them were, out of the strike zone. Kind of look flat. I mean, he's not getting swing and miss with it. And that's not to say that's the only pitch that's being hit, but and that's not to say his other secondary stuff has been elite. Let me be very clear about that. My point is just that when you're talking about someone who's had an elite pitch and that suddenly goes from being elite or really good to his worst pitch, I mean, anyone's going to be searching, trying to figure out like, and you can kind of tell if you watched his post game in the clubhouse on Masson's post game, he's kind of at a loss, right? Because it seems like he does feel pretty decent about his other pitches, but the curveball just hasn't been there. And again, this isn't run-of-the-mill average, okay curveball. Charlie Morton's had an elite curveball over the course of the back
When
half
you
of his
say washed
career.
up, it, you know, the velocity's still there too, the spin rates, you know,
And
so.
that's the thing. And that's where I think. When we use the term washed up, and obviously that's something we use across the board in
I mean, that's a
sports.
silly, yeah, I mean, that's a
I
real
mean, it's,
wide, that's
well,
a wide
it's
lane.
very relative, right? Because when we say someone's washed up, if they could be as we could say they're as washed up as we want, but if we stepped into the box against them, that we'd still
Joe
look like
Flacco's washed up. He will throw for
you would
25
still break your
touchdowns in
hands
Cleveland
throwing.
this year, even if they win 6 games, because he's really good. And you know what I mean? Like, and we make fun of it and whatever, but he knows more about it than anybody. And that's where Morton is. That's where all the veterans would like to be, which is like to say, cagey, you know, work a little harder, study a little
Try to
harder,
figure
have
it
been there
out.
a little bit more. And but that's where the self-evaluation for a guy like Morton comes in and says, what am I still capable of doing that I couldn't do before? And what can I be better at? And this is maybe where Marvin Lewis once said to me, you know, we don't get dumber as coaches. We really get smarter as we get older, all of us. And that includes John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin and, you know, all these guys that have been doing it a long time. Pitchers get smarter, but they don't get better. I mean, they really don't. They have to figure out that diminishment in order to survive at 35, let alone at 41, man, you know?
Yeah, and that's where you look at this thing, and I mean that's there's no silver lining. Let me be very clear, but the only thing you're kind of leaning on right now when it comes to Charlie Morton, beyond the fact that like who else is coming in to
Well,
start
he's going to
games
take
for
the
them
ball every
right
fifth
now?
day. Right.
I mean, and you're not pulling the plug after 3 or 4 starts with anyone that has a track record and is making $15 million. I mean, we know that's
Oh,
just
and he's
how it
also
is,
still your best chance to win on every fifth
but.
night.
I think you're really at this point, if you're Drew French, if you're the Orioles, analytics department, looking at all the different things they're trying and looking at grip, release point, all the different arm slot, all of those different things, you're trying to lean on all the institutional knowledge that Charlie Morton has as a 41-year-old pitcher who's been doing this for a really long time and has gone through ups and downs. Now, this is a very extreme one. This is a very extreme down, but you're trying to lean on him to say, all right, man, you've thrown this curveball at a very high elite level for a really long time. It's not there right now. What do we need to do? What do you need to do to try to get this thing going? Because, your other offerings haven't been that bad. But when you subtract what makes someone special, what allows someone to pitch to 41 years of age, which, as you pointed out, is so rare, I mean, you're not going to succeed if you can't find some semblance of a curveball again that you feel good about, that maybe isn't going to be as elite as it was 3, 4, or 5 years ago, but it has to be better than it is right now because it just makes for a far too incomplete repertoire that other teams are hitting. I mean, he didn't
Well,
miss bat.
and we can go on and on, and I'll let you finish that up. But that then that leads you to then, what are you going to get out of Dean Kramer? What are you going to get out of Cade Povich? What are you getting out of these other guys? And we've just done 15 minutes on Charlie Morton, and he only pitches every fifth day. You're still pissed about the bats.
Yeah, they're not hitting. And I know people were ticked off at Brandon Hyde because Mateo and Ramon Laureano are in the lineup. And look, I'm at the point now where I think I mostly agree with that sentiment. The reality is, if you're going up against a left-hander, fine. But you don't have Delmon Young and Steve Pearce coming off the bench batting, starting against left-handed pitchers, right? I mean, this isn't. You can talk about the platoon advantage all you want, but it's Jorge Mateo and Ramon Laureano who had a really good second half last year for Atlanta, but is very much in the November of his career, right? So at the same time, people were ticked because Jackson Holliday and Heston Kjerstad didn't start. They both have sub 600 OPSs right now. I mean, at some point in time, we have to look at these young guys collectively, and we can keep saying, oh, these guys are so talented. These guys are so talented. Well, then they have to perform.
Well, and yeah, and
And I'm
against a
not,
soft
saying,
toss left-hander, it wasn't Randy Johnson out there, right?
well, and
So,
that's what's
like,
frustrating. Yeah, Logan.
maybe they get a couple of hits. Maybe they figure, I don't know, but then you get them to the point where they have no confidence to go after left-handed pitching,
Yeah.
and.
Right. And that's a philosophical thing that I've struggled with how they approach things because you do get to a point where you say, okay, I get it. With a young guy, you're trying to ease his way in, and we saw this not so much with Rutschman or Gunnar Henderson, because they even Gunnar, when he struggled early in 2023, he wasn't sitting that, it's not like they were sitting him against every lefty starter. But Westberg's a great example of this. When Westberg was recalled, called up in midway through 2023, they still had Adam Frazier. And so they were at a point where Westberg was starting against lefties and he was starting against some righties, but they were keeping Frazier in the mix. But it gets to a point where a guy graduates and then he becomes an everyday player. However, you also do look at it and say, look, Jackson Holliday's a 1-1, first overall, and he's 21. And let me be clear, when I'm picking on him by saying he has a sub 600 OPS, my point is we shouldn't have all of our angst pointed towards Brandon Hyde over that. At some point in time, we do this thing on the in social media as sports fans in 2025, and it's not just Baltimore. I see it with every fan base. When I see a sampling on social media, we do this. Players get all the credit when things are going well, and when things are going poorly, we just bang on the head coach or bang on the manager. They're the idiots. They're the ones doing everything wrong. We can't blame the players because we love the players and we wear their jerseys and we buy their bobbleheads. Although the owner's having a bobblehead this weekend, so that's another conversation. But at the same time, other than Jackson Holliday right now, because he is 21, and I still believe me. Not down on him in a big picture sense, but we can't keep just saying these guys are young. This is a team that won 101 games 2 years ago. This is a team that going back to that Yankee series, where you and I were at Costas Inn watching the Orioles score, what, 17 runs or whatever it was in the finale of that series where they took 2 out of 3 in the Bronx and they were 24 games over 500, including the postseason, the sweep to Kansas City, and now including the 6-10 start this year. Since that Yankee series, they're 10 games under 500. I mean, that's a big sampling of not just mediocrity, not being 110 loss bad, let's be clear, but that's quite a big sample of not being a good baseball team. And look, it's over 2 years, and the club's different, and they've had some injuries, absolutely. And the injuries are absolutely a part of this, right? I'm not going to dismiss that part of it when you have as many pitchers on the IL as the Orioles do right now.
And they weren't, and the other part about their pitching is I'm a believer that Grayson Rodriguez can do this when healthy. I'm a believer that Bradish was on the cusp of being very good, right? Like, and good for a couple of years, maybe Chris Tillman kind of good, right? Like, I'm a believer in all of that. And so they have a built-in crutch. Again, this is the off season for all these guys when it doesn't work out, but we're in April. This owner's giving out freaking bobbleheads. We had a seat with our name on it in the press box, and I wasn't allowed to sit in it on Jackie Robinson night of all things. Inclusion, equality, equity, all of that. So, like, they don't walk their talk in a general business sense. I was in Toronto 2 weeks ago, can't even get their game, right? The game's not on. The way they run it all. And the amount of attention baseball wants for you once it starts. And I feel this in my life. I have two calendars, Luke, one with the Oriole game in it, one without. Because when you put the Oriole game in it, my week fills up pretty quickly. And if they gave me a press pass back and I was there Tuesday night, it would have been 9 hours, 10 hours down at the ballpark for me. And I'll tell you what, that level of avidity that they're looking for from people who aren't shut in, people who have other lives, who interested in lacrosse or go to the beach or do other things or have a family or have an Easter event with their nieces on a Tuesday night when it's cold out. I looked up tickets. Tickets were $30 to get in again the other night. Like, I don't. They're trying to get people into the soap opera, and right now the soap opera's not very good.
No.
And part of it is there was a lot of promise about how good this season was going to be. And I don't mean season baseball season. I mean because these people are more like it's more like Real Housewives. This season, this television season of Oriole baseball, like what I'm going to get when I make a platter of food. By the way, why was the game at 7 o'clock instead of 6:35? Can I ask you
Because
that?
it was a TBS game, where
I said to my
TBS does,
wife, yeah.
where it's simulcast. It's still on locally, obviously. It was still on Masson,
Well,
but
we
yeah, it
got
was a
trapped
TBS game.
because at 6:15 we were going to go grab some food and run out. And I'm like, my wife said, well, I can take it on the iPad. And I know it would make Luke happy up in Pennsylvania that I could take the game anywhere, right? And she went to put it on. She's like, it doesn't start till 7 o'clock. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I don't even know when the hell the game starts, right? So this is part of the issue of you have to know when they start, where they are, at the end of the Birdland this, coupon that, we're going to come down, we're going to do all that. Great, great. That's good when you
Yeah.
win 93 games or 98 games or when there's promise for that. Dude, when you're 15 and 24, like you've been every year for the last 30 years, and I know better because I've lived it all, nobody cares. Luke cares, Nestor cares, we're here. It's our job. Well, it's your job. It's a hobby for me over 35 years, according to Katie Griggs, who's going to get her letter. The frustration level of how they behave in the offseason, how they market the team, all of that, how this new regime has come in and changed very little other than Johnny Bravo-ing the owner and have him throw hats and paying Cal Ripken to sit behind home plate. I don't what's on the field right now is not good enough. And for people that have come back to this, that really have suffered through, I don't need to tell you, you went out to the ballpark. You had the privilege of being out there in 17, 18, 19, like through all of the mess. And this isn't representative, and it's sort of code red to me at this point. They're in the middle of this homestand where it's cold, and they better not be losing to the Guardians and the Reds this week and finding themselves 6-7 under come next week when they got to go back on the road. The Yankees in a week and a half, right? So I don't know what to say, but I don't see signs of life here, and I am concerned across the board, because Laureano and Mateo and Urrea, they're not going to hit this team out of this. We're waiting on home runs from Henderson at this point. Rutschman, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You think Westberg might be dinged a little bit. I mean, and I think it's wonderful that Mullins has found this summer of his career
The
and
contract year,
the
no less. I mean,
contract year too.
it's
Let him
great for
walk,
him
right? Yeah, let him get some
regardless,
money.
right?
He seems like one of the really good humans that I would like to know if I were, were a real professional like you. And I'd have more to say about all of this if I had more access information that they want me to have or don't want me to have. You say they wouldn't give me any information anyway, and I hear that. So, but we are witnessing something here in the beginning where the Ravens are in scandal. They don't play again until September. The Terps are done, done, done. You and I aren't lacrosse people. They need to keep people's attention in a much better way. And that includes marketing. That includes how they're treating people. That just includes all the whole package of what the Oriole experience under non-Angelos ownership, right? I've been waiting 30 years to judge this. Thumbs down, Katie, for all of you. Mark Fine, thumbs down. Thumbs down just all the way around in a lot of ways. But I thought the team would be good. And I do think, I still think of Elias and Mydell as geniuses. I think Brandon Hyde is, I mean, I think of Gunnar Henderson as a future Hall of Fame, right? I'll buy into all of that. But I see this pitching and I know it's not good enough.
I agree, but the offense hasn't been good enough. And the offense is actually supposed to be really good. Again, at some point in time, you have to look at expectations and also say, I get it. Charlie Morton's been poor. I'm not going to sit here and defend an 8+ ERA at the end of the day. I mean, I can talk all I want, or he can talk all he wants about, oh, if he can just get his curveball back on track, he probably has the makings of still being something resembling a league average starter, right? I'm not saying better than that, but maybe there's a pathway there if he can get the feel for his curveball back. But Jordan Westbrook's hitting 196. Adley Rutschman, go look at his numbers since his big day, opening day. I'm not saying it's horrible, but it's not anything special. Tyler O'Neill has hit. It was nice to see him show a little more energy defensively on Tuesday night than
I
we
like that
saw.
Clemente throw. That was nice.
Yeah, I mean, that was good to see. I mean, he's mostly performed. I mean, you look at him, he's slugging 490, right? I mean, that's other than Mullins, I think that's tops on the team, among the guys that play regularly. Gunnar Henderson had two hits on Tuesday night. Gunnar, the home run power hasn't come yet, but he's hitting the ball hard. I think Gunnar's going to be fine. But, Mountcastle, was nice to see him hit a home run the other day, but he's slugging 385. He's a first baseman.
It's funny for you to say about Henderson that you're not worried about him or whatever, and I'm not either. I just feel like over the body of work, he's going to hit 34 home runs and drive in 111 runs. Like, that's fine. They could
But he
still
can't.
lose 92 games with him doing that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
Well, of course. I mean, look at the
I
Orioles in
think he's going to be
1991.
fine. All the rest of them, box of chocolates. No way Mullins is having this kind of year.
Oh,
No
yeah.
way
I
Mullins
mean.
is hitting 26 home runs. Like, I'm not buying that, but I'm buying that. He's one of my favorites. He really
Yeah.
is.
And let me. And the other thing with that, I mean, you just said it. That's not to say the rest of these guys are going to continue to hit at this poor of a level. But at some point in time, and this is where, to me, you kind of pull back the curtain a little bit, and you do kind of question, where is this team's headspace? Where are they confidence-wise? Where are they in terms of just expectations going out there? Look, these guys had a lot of success very quickly. We've talked about this a lot. I've said it tongue in cheek, but there's probably something to the idea of, there's a certain amount of being a victim of your own success when, with some of these guys, their first full year in the majors, they win 101 games. They go 101 and 61. The best
They had
Orioles
pitchers
team.
out there shoveling, man,
They
for a year and a half. They really
did,
did.
but let's also not act like they were the 1992 Atlanta Braves either, though. I agree with you,
But if
but
you're in that
I'm
clubhouse
talking more
on
about the
the day
psychology.
last year before Angelos died, and you're a member of the team, and Rubinstein's buying the team, Corbin Burns is in your clubhouse. You report to spring training last Valentine's Day with sugar plums. You won 101 games. Yeah, you didn't do so much in Texas and whatnot. But you're a member of the team and you're Mountcastle, any of these guys, Mullins, even go back to Austin Hayes still being there at that point. And before you and I went down to Sarasota last year, you're like, Angelos dies 3 weeks later. They announce the new ownership on opening day, all of that. Bradish is coming back. Means has got half an arm. Rodriguez is coming. He's going to be Jim Palmer. Corbin Burns is out there shoveling every night, right? Like, whoo. I ain't seen any of that. Like, that's a
Sure.
different level of what I look down and say the Guardians and the Reds are in this weekend. Bradish 8-2 with a 2.7 ERAs going Friday night. Burns is 10-2 with a 3.1 going Saturday and Sunday. That's our down day. Grayson's going to pitch on Sunday. He's only 7-3 with a 3.6 this year. Like, that's more Jimmy Key, Ben McDonald, Mike Mussina, David. Like, I've seen what it needs to look like to win 95 or 100 games. And it looked like that. I remember talking to you last year at Costas and remember saying to my wife, this is might be the best Oriole team I've ever seen in my life in May of last year. As I look at it right now, and it's not because I'm down on Gunner or down on Westberg getting 196 or down on Rutschman. It's there's no pitching here. And when
Well,
Brian Baker is the bright light on April 16th, and that's what we're talking about, dude. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I don't know where their help is coming from because I don't see Dean Kramer as elite. I don't see their defense as elite. I don't see their ability for the offense to get on base as elite, and especially against left-handed pitching, as witnessed on Tuesday night. That wasn't Koufax out there. That was a young guy, crafty, whatever, but he was throwing a no-hitter through 5 innings.
well, and that's what I keep coming back to. I mean, every you keep go you keep defaulting to the pitching, the pitching, the pitching, the pitching. And if that's the rest of the club's mindset, then they are done. They are done then, because the offense isn't doing its job. The offense is supposed to be what's leading the way for this team. The offense is what they've focused on in drafting and developing their young core of players. And as they wake up on going into Wednesday's action, they're exactly league average in runs scored per game, and they're worse in plenty of categories, as you mentioned, like talking about on base percentage or walk rate. They're not slugging. I mean, everyone talked last year, banged on them. Oh, this team relies on the home run too much. They're not hitting home runs at all now. I mean, they're obviously hitting a few, but certainly not at a prolific rate like the Yankees are, for
Well, they moved the
example.
fence in. The wind was blowing the right field.
Yeah. Tough night. Tough night
Oh
with the
my
wind. I mean,
God!
it absolutely
Yeah, I
was.
mean, I
I
saw the
mean,
hot dog wrappers.
say what you want about him as a hitter, but you see Ramon Laureano, who's a very capable outfielder, struggling the way he did to catch a couple fly balls, you could kind of see. But everything you just mentioned about the pitching, and let me be clear, I'm not excusing the pitching. The pitching is absolutely, I mean, when you're last in starter ERA,
Well,
it is
dude,
what it
you've beat
is.
him up about the pitching for 4 months, and I mean, go back, roll the tape in December, January, February, March. I mean, you and Shinen were down on their pitching 3 weeks. I mean, like, so all of it, there were orange lights on the dashboard, right, before opening day, before we went to Toronto for the
But
pitching.
it's almost like if you have two students, one who you have no expectations for and just isn't, and obviously this is kind of a rough top of my head stream of consciousness example, but you have someone that you expected to be a D student, and okay, maybe they've been a D minus or an F student, right? I mean, the pitching's been awful, but you have someone else that you expect to be an honor student, and they have a C minus right now?
Dude, they had D pitching, maybe C minus pitching as they entered opening day, and they were trying to buff it up and think that they could turn it into B plus.
I hear
And
you.
that's not really what they really had is C minus D plus pitching that's taken on injuries that's now an F.
Sure. But like I said, what about the honor student who has a C minus average right now? Or maybe a D plus
Oh, that
in a
would be
couple
Jordan
subjects.
Westberg you're talking about? Are you talking
That
about
would
Hadley
be the
Rutschman?
offense. That'd be the offense. So, look, if they're going to dig their way out of this, they have to hit. We can talk about where they're going to find a little more consistency pitching wise, and if Charlie Morton can figure this out, if Dean Kramer can start looking like Dean Kramer again, which I know is nothing special, but has at least been a league average starter over the last 3 years, which they take that gladly right now. You get the best version of what Dean Kramer's been over the last 3 years, they'll take that. If
he's their number one looking like a number three,
but
I'm
they've got
okay
to
with that.
hit. They've got to hit. And these young guys can't just keep, and no one is pointing the finger publicly. I'm asking, what's inside the headspace right now? Because if they're the ones that are, feeling sorry for themselves because of the state of their pitching, well, you're not doing your job in the process either. So they've got to hit. Like I can't be more direct than that. I can't be any more blunt than that. They have to hit because that's what's supposed to be great about this team. And it's not anything close to great right now.
All right. Well, Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. We're going to get to football and the Liars luncheon. Luke and I did a full briefing on the Ravens roster and draft day next week. Luke and I have gone through hitting and pitching and Elias. I'm going to get after Katie Griggs this week about why I didn't have a press credential on Tuesday night, on Jackie Robinson night, not to mention why Clemente's number was taken off the wall. I've discussed democracy at length this week with Bernard McKinney in Cleveland, Ohio, talking about the Guardians, talking about the Browns. Michael Regei joined me at length to talk some baseball and talk about the state of Ohio and the Browns and their stadium situation out there. So I'm getting around a little bit this week. The Reds are in town this week. We're going to be at the Beaumont on Thursday, and I'm going to talk football. I'm going to talk rock and roll. I'm going to talk about money, democracy, tariffs, and also college basketball on the agenda at the Beaumont. So, I give this away. So, Luke, I'm over at our sponsor at the Beaumont. My wife was with her family over the weekend, and I flew down to the airport to get her, and she flew into the airport. I drove to the airport, and we went over to Beaumont, walking to Beaumont to get a little dinner, and look up. There's Larry Stewart, head coach of Coppin State. And I said to him, he played 6 years in the NBA, that guy. He played 15 years. 15. So Stu is coming out. So I'll give that away. Larry Stewart, Coppin State, our Coppin State partnership. He's going to come out, talk some basketball with me and NIL and other things. Probably discuss the chicken fried lobster as well and the lamb chops at the Beaumont. So we'll see you at the Beaumont on Thursday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Luke and I are going to talk some Liars luncheon. I'm trying to think of what else I got going on around here. Mark Messina and I had an unbelievable chat about pitching. Oh, and speaking of college basketball, Beno Ranson, the only young man I ever coached who was great, is talking some basketball and his boys playing over at Mount St. Joe. So an exciting time there. Had him out. Also honored the Costas family on the loss of the Papu. And we did that on Friday at Costas. We had some great food. We're going to be this week at Beaumont. Next Wednesday, we are at Coopers North in Timonium. Also have some great guests out there. I'm hoping to have a very decorated Olympian. And also on the 30th of the month, we'll be at Coco's Pub, and that's going to be in Lauraville. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as Raskin Global, our friends at Curio Wellness, who are opening a new location in Pikesville. I'm going to be there on Thursday with Wendy and the group, Michael, and everybody in the Bronfine family. So congratulations on getting that open. I used to go over there and get coffee and bagels with Marvin Lewis, and now it's turned into a dispensary. Who knew? Reisterstown Road. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.